In Revelation chapter 3, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? The title of the message today is Just Another Steeple. Just Another Steeple. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And to the angel of the church at Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I've not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just come to you today to give you glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and just for the blessing of worship and for the opportunity that you've given us today to come and gather together and look into your word and study a portion of your scripture. Lord, open our hearts now. Take your word and apply it to our lives that Lord, we might know you better, that we might be drawn close to you, that we might be more dedicated and more resolved to glorify you through the lives that we live. And Lord, we pray for those in this service who've never made a commitment committing their life to you, who've never been saved. Lord, I just pray that today you'd reveal yourself to them and your great love in which you have loved them, that you'd convict them of their sin and cause them to turn to you for salvation. Lord, again, we love you. We thank you so much for all things, but most of all, Jesus, thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed that big, tall structure on top of a church building that we call a steeple? Do you ever notice it? Do you ever notice that you drive by, and I know not all churches have a steeple, but probably the majority of churches have a steeple. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why? What's the point? Why is it there, that big, long, tall structure that points to the sky? What's the purpose? Well, it started in the great churches of England, as I understand it, and as I've read. It's one of the places where we have drawn it from. The reason it started was purely architectural. It complemented the lines of the building, of the churches that they built. So as we, when we came over and began to settle this country, we just kept the steeple. Because after a while, it just became the accepted architecture for a church. It was what you were supposed to do at a church. You built a church, you built a steeple. They just went together. But it also, through the years, has acquired a spiritual meaning. Back in years ago, you know, people were not very educated. So people were illiterate. They couldn't read. And so you could hang a church sign on the door of, you know, for example, Victory Missionary Baptist Church. You could hang that sign on the door. People didn't know what it was. They couldn't read. But when you would put that steeple on top of the building, it was a picture. A picture to everyone, whether you could read or not, of this was the place that pointed you to heaven. This was the place you could go and get to know about God. This was the place where you learned about eternal life. Or that's the claim of a steeple. You see, the church at Sardis, I don't know if they had a steeple or not. I think probably not. But they did have a claim. Their claim was that they were a church alive, on fire. They were a church doing just fine. Their name, and when we use the word name there, he said, you have a name. That word name, it's talking about what they thought they were. Literally, they thought they were alive. That word alive, the Greek word is zoe, is talking about supernatural life. It's talking about spiritual life. In the church at Sardis' own eyes, that was the place you could go to hear about God. That was the place you could go to learn how to have eternal life. That was the place that would change your life just by going. They thought they were a vibrant, on fire church, so they did what churches do. They worshiped. They studied Scripture. But there was no mention. There was no mention of false doctrine. There was no mention of false teachers. In their mind, everything was good at Sardis. You know, it's easy for us to evaluate ourselves, isn't it? Isn't it fun? I say fun. Isn't it nice to be able to look at ourselves and say, well, you know, I know I'm not that great, but I'm not as bad as those folks over there. Right? Oh, y'all are no fun this morning. It's easy for us to look at our lives and say, well, I go to church and I must be all right. You know, not everybody goes to church. It's easy to have a claim, but today I want to ask you, is it not more than a claim? Is it a reality? You see, Jesus said when they said, we have a name, we're alive. But Jesus said, I know your works. We started this study with Jesus in the midst of the churches, walking among the midst of the churches. And he's told the churches, I think he's told all of them, I know your works. They thought they were alive, but Jesus says, I know that word. No, it means to have a complete, thorough knowledge of. So when Jesus says, I know, you can take it to the bank. Jesus really knew what was going on. We can look around us today and we can think, well, I like what's going on or I don't like what's going on. But you know, we really don't know what's going on with each other. But Jesus knows. He knew exactly what was going on at the church at Sardis. It's just a reminder. It really doesn't matter what we think, does it? It matters what Jesus thinks. Amen? Or it matters what Jesus knows about the church and about the lives that we live. And understand, as we talk about the church today, it's also easy to just say church, but understand you are the ones who make up the church. So we got to apply this on an individual level. Jesus said, I know your works, and you're not alive. As a matter of fact, you are dead. You know what dead means, right? It means lifeless. It means it's a corpse, useless, ineffective. And the thing I want you to ask yourself in the beginning of this message is that as Jesus walks among us, and Jesus is here, amen? As Jesus walks among us, what is he finding? What is he finding at Victory Missionary Baptist Church? What is he finding in the individual lives that are present here? Let's be truthful. Jesus knows what's going on. And what does he know to be true? You see, when Jesus looked and gave a real look at the church at Sardis, he not only says, I know, he said, you should be ashamed. See, the shame of the church there was that the church was dying. The church was dying. As a matter of fact, he said, be watchful. There in verse 2, he said, be watchful. That word be watchful literally means to wake up. Wake up out of your sleep and see the real condition that you're in. You know, we think of a dead church. We have our own views of what a dead church is. When we think of a dead church, we think of a church that singing is dreary. Don't we? You ever been to a song service? It's like, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Don't you love that? Don't you love it? We think of a dead service as when the preaching is boring. You know, there are some preachers that are boring. Did you know that? We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. We think of a dead church as a church that the attendance is dwindling instead of growing. where there's only a handful of folks that show up anymore. We think of that as a dying church. But I want to tell you this. That's not the death of the church. That's only a symptom of a dying church. You see, it's much like a cancer. And what I want to emphasize to you today is the cancer that we call the church killer. This cancer that I'm talking about, if someone has cancer, you usually can't see the cancer because it's going on the inside. You can see the results of the cancer as that individual loses weight and begins to look sickly. But you usually don't see the cancer. That's what's happened in churches who are dying, that you see, well, their song service is dead. Their preaching is dead. Their attendance, the excitement there is gone. What's going on? It's not. That's only the symptom. The church killer is this. Jesus said in verse 2, at the end of verse 2, "For I have not found your works perfect before God." That word perfect means fulfilled or complete. So what Jesus is saying to that group is, you're not doing the job that I have put you here to do. You're not accomplishing your mission. You're here for a purpose. That purpose is to win lost souls. That purpose is to educate people in the Word of God. That purpose is to point the world heavenward. And so, as Jesus explains to this church, He's saying, you're not accomplishing your mission. Oh, you have a claim, much like the claim of a steeple that points upward. But you're not doing what I've set you there to do. You see, we think of church as being something that happens on Sunday. It's not. It is not. A dying church is a church whose ministry begins and ends on Sunday. Do you realize that? So many people have the concept, I go to church and when church is over, they go home and they don't have to worry about it until next week. No! Church is about going, yes, and worshiping and learning and then taking what you get from church to a lost and dying world who needs to see Jesus. It's more than just a Sunday place to go. It's more. It's more. James chapter 2 describes it like this, beginning in verse 14. I think the Bible is its best commentary, don't you? This church is dying. James talks about a dying people. Chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit?" As I read that, I thought about this, or as I read Revelation, I thought about this text, and I thought that how many people today have the concept of church being a Sunday thing, and I don't have to worry about it. Just as long as I go to church, I've done my duty. No! And don't get me wrong, I love people going to church. It's a lot more fun to have you to preach to on Sunday than to have nobody to preach to, and Beth would get tired of it after a while. Oh, but listen, what I'm sharing with you is, the world needs to see Jesus. The world needs to see your ministry. They need to experience the love of Christ. And for us to say, yes, we're Christians, yes, we have faith, but we never get out into the world and affect the lives of the people around us, is to have a dead faith. I want more. Amen. Our God expects more than a dead faith that profits no one. Verse 17 of the book of James. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Here's the challenge. It is so easy in today's society to get busy. I mean, there are plenty of things to do. Amen? I mean, there's, you know, if you've got kids, there are baseball, football, volleyball, and every kind of ball that you can go to that consume our time. And that's fine. That's fine. You know? I love a good football game. You know? And not only is it the kids, but it's work. Work consumes our time. And some of us have to put in an enormous amount of time at work. That's okay. I like to eat. How about you? You know, it's nice to have a paycheck to pay that electric bill. Amen. But here's my question. As you're at these volleyball, baseball, basketball, football games, are you ministering? As you're at work, are you ministering? You see, we have a great commission, and we call it great commission because that word great, it indicates it's very important. And that great commission says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Guess where that starts? That starts with me and you at home. That starts with our kids at home. That starts with our coworkers. That starts with our friends. That starts with everybody we come in contact with, seeing the love of Jesus Christ and what an awesome God He is. Would the kingdom of God experience loss if you were not to be here? If you were to die today, and I'm speaking to those who have professed Jesus as their Savior, if you were to die today, what would be lost? What ministries would be lost because you were no longer present to do it? Something to think about. Something to consider. Oh, we talk about loving Jesus. It's easy to talk. It's easy to put a steeple on top of a building. But I want to tell you, the difference between just another steeple and a powerhouse for God are people of ministry and purpose. That's what God has placed you here for. And I don't care if you're a college student, a high school student, a worker in a factory. I don't care where you are. God has a purpose for you. And that purpose is for others to see Him living in your life. How are you fulfilling that purpose? See, He gives them a command. He talks about strengthening the things that remain. And He tells them, and we're going to talk about the church of yesterday. He tells them, remember how you have heard and received. How did you receive? How many here are a child of God? Would you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to think about how you became a child of God. And you say, well, Brother Doug, I called upon Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me. Wonderful. Yes, absolutely. But how did you know to do that? You know how you knew to do that? Because there was someone who was a faithful servant of God who dedicated himself to ministry, who dedicated himself to ensuring that you heard the story of the cross of Jesus Christ. Someone had a profound effect on your life because they were a minister of the gospel. It may have been a preacher. It may have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a dear friend. It may have just been someone who took the time to spend a little time with you and minister to you. But we all have those people who are special. Amen? That we're all where we are because of some faithful saint of yesterday who made their contribution, who's not willing to live in a dead faith. But today, Jesus commanded this church at Sardis. He said, strengthen the things that remain. What He's talking about, He's telling them, you're not absolutely dead yet. There are still ministries going on. That word strengthen means to establish and make them immovable. There are things that are ready to die that you can still strengthen. You can still strengthen. Do you know how to strengthen ministries? Are you ready? Two words. Get involved. Get involved. It's kind of wild how that people today think that the work of the ministry is for those who are called into the ministry. I want to tell you something. We are all called into the ministry. All right? It's not a church staff thing. It's not. Even though we do have ministry responsibilities, it's about all of us fulfilling our God-given purpose on this earth. This church staff, do you realize, it is here to equip you to serve and to minister. That's what we're about. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote about that in the book of Ephesians, where he's talking about God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And you know why he made those positions? He made those positions for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what that means? It's my job to get you ready to minister. It's Brother Michael's job to get the teens ready to minister. It's Brother Kelly's job to get our college students ready to get involved in ministry. It's Brother Ken's job to put our seniors in a position to minister. But never make the mistake and think it's all somebody else's job. No, ministry is all our job. We all have that responsibility. And when ministry begins to die, that's when churches begin to die. That's what happened to this church at Sardis. Jesus did not find their works complete or fulfilled. He said, church, you're not doing your job. Are we doing our job? Are you doing your job today? Am I doing my job? I've got to ask myself. And this isn't about, let's point fingers over there. This is about what's between you and God. Are you fulfilling what God has placed you on this earth to do? Where do we go from here? Where do I go from here? Well, as Jesus said, hold fast and repent. I said this before, but I'll say it again. Repentance is a word we don't often use in church, but sometime we need to turn and go a different direction. Amen. When we find ourselves in a rut, it's time to get out of that rut. Turn out of it. When we find ourselves, you know, not serving, making excuses, oh, I'm so busy and I have other things to... Oh, no, no. See, Jesus is walking among us. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you've got. And He has expectations of you as His child. That's why He said, repent. Or actually, He said, hold fast. That word hold fast is an interesting word in that it means to pay attention. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Pay attention. Look around you and consider what's really important. You know what's really important? What's really important are the things that you do for the Lord. What's really important is that person you share the gospel with and tell about Jesus Christ. And they receive Jesus Christ, and thus they are looking at that eternity in heaven. That's what's important. What's important is that brethren who's downtrodden and that brethren who's discouraged and they're falling by the wayside, and you have an opportunity to go and lift them up and carry them till they're able to get back on their feet. What's important with your children is not sports, other activities that kids do. What's important is that your kids know who Jesus Christ is. Are you giving them that? And I'm not talking about, Brother Doug, I bring my kids to church. Good, that's a great place to start. But you got to give it to them Monday, Sunday through Saturday. They got to get it at home. God has placed you here. He has given you a purpose. He has given you a ministry. Do it. I guess we can be like Nike and just do it. Do what God has called you to do. See, here's the... I said I was going to leave you with that part. One more thing, okay? Can I give you one more thing? Say amen. You know it's coming whether you amen me or not, right? Give you one more thing. In the last line, or verse 5. He said, "He who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." Is he talking about losing your salvation? No, he's not. If you translate that, it literally reads, "I will not blot out or mark out his name from the book of the living." God has placed you here for a purpose. He's placed you here for a reason. And he's given you spiritual responsibilities. And you know what? When we refuse to answer the ministerial call, when we refuse to answer God's call upon our life, raising our children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when we refuse to answer God's call to love others and to share Christ, when we refuse, you know what he's saying? "I'll blot you out of the book of the living. You're of no purpose. You're of no value to me. I won't keep you around." Now, I didn't tell you that to scare you. I didn't. But I do think that there are times we need to be woke up. And this is such a message. And I preach this today not to point a finger at anyone. I want to tell you I'm excited what God's doing at Victory. Amen. Souls are being saved. People are growing in ministry. Good things are happening. But I've got to preach this to all of us as a reminder. Hey, when I let my ministry slip, the church begins to slip. When everybody lets their ministry slip, the church begins to die. You're important. That's why God has you around. He's given you a purpose. Fulfill that purpose. You may be here today, and this has been primarily a message to the saved, I know. But you may be here today, and you've never made the spiritual commitment to Jesus Christ. You've never committed your life to Christ. I want to tell you, did you know everybody's not going to heaven? "Oh, Brother Doug, I'm a good person." Has nothing to do with your standard of good. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's these folks, and those folks. That's all of us. We've all sinned. We all need a Savior. That's why Jesus came, and you hear of His death on the cross, His suffering, His crucifixion. Because He took my punishment and your punishment, the punishment of our sin, He took on our behalf. So that today He says, if you'll call upon me, you'll be saved. You're a prayer away from salvation. Question I want to leave you, thought I want to leave you with is, where will you spend eternity? You know, all of us are going to die. And all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. There's only one or two places. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And you will decide where you spend eternity. Choose Jesus. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Will you make that commitment to Jesus today and receive Him as your Savior? Maybe you're here today and you've been letting your ministry slip. Maybe it's a day that it's time for a rededication. This altar's open. Whatever your spiritual need is, answer God's call. Our Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for this good day. Thank You for Your Word and for the reminder, Lord, that You do have us around for a purpose. You do have us around. And You've given us ministries, and You've equipped us to fulfill those ministries. So, Lord, help us to be faithful servants so that when this life is through, we'll hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, as we come to invitation time, Lord, I pray You'll freely move among us, that You'll convict of sin, that You'll draw near to You, that Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.